about in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and the power thereof. Such if we look at, well, we'll go down to verse 10. Are they which creep into houses, and they leave captive, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learn knowledge of the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They want to do things. And it is incredible to me that they have this desire, but I believe it to be the truth for the last days. Verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," that is Paul, "my manner of life, my purpose, my faith." And here we got a man, an apostle to the Gentiles. He's doing everything he can to live godly and to speak clearly and speak the word of God. And how the religious people of that day, how they respond to this, they cast him into prison and put him in a position where he doesn't have any freedom of movement. Now, he can have some people come in his prison and talk, but for the most part, they want to silence him. And he goes on, "My purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endure, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." And all I can say is praise the Lord, because what Paul did for us in the writing of those scriptures is something that we need to lean on today. He goes on to say in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And it does seem like that happens where those who are trying to live for the Lord are being persecuted just because they're trying to do the right thing. He says in 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I guess that's the part that kind of breaks my heart, that these people would not believe the truth because they would not. They choose not. They choose to believe a lie rather than believe in the truth. So he goes on and says in 14, he's talking to Timothy, and he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And he says in verse 15, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And all scripture in 16 is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So working only to the Word of God, and only to God who enlightens us and gives us an understanding of these words. And I read something earlier this week about the actual scriptures that we have. The King James Version is not inspired. It is not perfect. It is not without error. It does have some things that can be turned and some, can teach some false doctrine, just because that's what the religious people would have us to do, is to believe the lie rather than believe the truth. So now we want to turn over. Let's go over to chapter 4, where it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom." This is when the judging will take place. In wards, and it is about having people suffer or be mistreated some place of torment. We will be rewarded for faithful service, and I think we'll lose some rewards for when we were not faithful. But we'll leave all. We won't try to judge ourselves. We'll just allow him to judge us when the it goes on to say, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort." Believe me, we live in a time when we, but at the same time, we certainly don't want to allow these lies to become part of our lives. So I think it's necessary to obey these things, even now, and that we be, but to judge ourselves or judge others seems to me it's an area where we can fall into a problem. We're living in a time of grace. We're living in a time when we're not supposed to judge one another, but I do think that we can be fruit inspectors. I think we can watch and we can see how people are conducting their lives in such a way is we can be encouraging to them and to help them, and we can also turn away, much so in the way that the Lord has turned away. You know, people just refuse to obey his ways and become more like him. Just to go on a little bit there, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." It's like always wanting to teach something new or something different. And in verse 4, it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the true fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And Paul goes on to say, "For I now fall ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I finished a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the judge, shall give." Me also appearing. And so that's our hope. That's what we're looking for. We're much appreciative of the Lord coming up with a way where we will escape this world and we will appear in the heavenlies far above all when Christ, who is our life, appears. Now let's turn over to Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9, and I'm just saying, you know, we need to understand epistles are about what they're saying, how they can help us in this day in which we live, and also have us walk the path that the Lord would be able to give us these 1:9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, into all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness. I love that. We have been delivered from that. So we don't have to be overcome with it or be depressed or feel like the enemy is winning, even though it appears that he is. But has been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things, that He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And He has made peace through the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile. And reconcile doesn't mean all are saved. It just means all are in a position where they could be saved. So He says, and He did that with his one time blood offering. And so it's not necessary that He go through that again, go through the cross, and to die again, and to shed His blood again, because it's been covered. And we should have comfort. And we should realize what we have, all accomplished by what He has done. So it's a matter of not believing what man says, but rather believing what Christ has said about what we have in Him. And we don't have to do things to get saved or to keep saved, but we do things because we are saved, because we do have life in His name, and we do have a hope and an inheritance, and we should understand that. That is why we can and should be at peace not only with the Lord, but at peace with others. So he goes on to say in 20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled or put you in a position where you can enjoy and have this hope. He's made it possible, even in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or to complete the Word of God. And, there's nothing to add. We don't need other scriptures. We don't need anything else other than what Paul has finished up the scriptures with. So we want to go to Colossians 2:16. I'm hoping these things that I'm reading will find a place in your heart that you might remember what the Lord has done, what he has already done, and what he's going to continue to do, and draw some peace in your life from all the lies that are being repeated over and over and over again. So it says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Now, if we have to have a standard, if we have to have something to go by for judging, the idea is that as you have received Christ Jesus, that you should continue to thank him and to allow him to do this one area of our life where none of us are perfect. We're not born perfect. And even when we have the new man at work in us, it still doesn't mean we're not going to fail from time to time. But the judgment that we're all under, it has this idea of, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein, thanksgiving. Beware. And if there's no other thought I can leave with you tonight, I would like you just to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I fear that's what the enemy is trying to do now, is to take away our joy and our peace and substitute it with something that's a lie. He says in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so all that's in Christ. Christ is in us, so we have the ability to be able to withstand and to stand for the truth. Verse 10 states, and you are complete in him. I don't know about you, that's a great comfort to me, knowing that there's nothing else to add. We don't need to do anything else other than, like you said, walk in the Lord. Because he's in you to help you to do that, to do what needs to be done. He says, which is the head, that is, Christ is the head of all principality and power. So even though Satan's having his heyday now, he won't have it forever, because the Lord is over all. He says in verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised, circumcision made without hands. This is a better circumcision than one that the Jews used to offer. This has been done by Christ, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a cutting off, is what the circumcision is. So we, and you read these things that Christ did, buried with him in baptism, then, that happened for us, whether we were water baptized or not. He went through the whole death baptism to accomplish, so we don't have to do that. We don't have to repeat that ourselves. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Man, therefore, judge you in meat. I think of all these things as religious things. Therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy days or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the is. So our hopes are based upon his finished works, not anything that we've done other than believing. That's the only requirement that we have, is to believe this truth, stand for this truth. So, the last verse, or at least the conclusion I want to make here is, the only way to stop others from judging us is to allow Christ's Word and the Bible, or the Word of God, to convict us through the new man who dwells within us. So it says, let no man judge you. And so we need to avoid that, how men want to judge us for being different, or they don't want to believe what we're teaching when it comes to our hope and calling. And the only way we can not allow them to judge us is not let them. You know, through the power we have in Christ, we can certainly, they can say whatever they want, but we don't have to believe it, we don't have to follow it, and we shouldn't. So with that, I am going to go to the close with prayer. I trust each one that's came this way has, maybe not, it's not, I wouldn't suggest that what I just taught was the first time you've ever heard it, but I would suggest that it's a good reminder for the days in which we live and for what's going on in our world as far as the country is concerned. So with that, let me pray. Heavenly God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for each one that's come our way. We'd ask, Lord, that you would allow the Word of God to dwell within us, that we may be encouraged by what it has to offer us, what it intends to do to keep us safe, without allowing the enemy to take control of our lives. We ask, Lord, you would continue to bless us, to protect us, to keep us, and allow us continue to be close to you. We have our different needs and different problems and different prayers answered according to your will. We ask all these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and we ask it for his sake. Amen.